Amen. Well, if you guys would, go ahead, and we are going to jump into God's Word for just a little bit. Go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we'll talk for just a few moments, and appreciate those who have been sneaking out to help with food and different things going on, so appreciate that. I can't smell the food, so I'm just going to preach until I do. So when I start smelling the food, then we'll pray and be dismissed. Just kidding. All right. So I pray that's an encouraging testimony to you. What a story of God working in ways that we can't imagine, working and moving through things and drawing us and leading us even when we don't understand, and then giving us the platform to make him known. What a praise that is. As I was thinking about that testimony this week, I was thinking about a really familiar story, and it's in Mark chapter 5. And this story comes to mind of a man whose life was changed by the compassion that was shown to him by Christ and how he used his platform to impact his world for Christ. And so Mark chapter 5 and starting in verse 1. Now the whole passage is really 1 through 20. For time's sake, we're just going to kind of move through the passage and pick out a few verses. But look at verse 1 of Mark 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. I know this is the story of a man that comes to be called Legion, a man that was possessed, and he's living as a wild man. He's out in these tombs, he's in the catacombs, he's living wild, and no one could tame him. And Jesus has a conversation, an interaction with this man, and in verse 13, we read, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran in the sea." And so there's a story of Jesus cast these demons out of this man. And again, there was many within him. And the demons are cast into these swine, and the swine run down this cliff and run into the water. And after this happens, we read here in verse 15, the change that came into his life. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The people of the community were afraid when they saw this was the outcome. And they actually, if you read on, they actually tell Jesus, "We kind of want you to leave. We're so scared of you, could you leave?" And so Jesus does that. He gets into a boat and prepares to leave. And then we read down here in verse 18. "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, being Legion," man we call Legion, "and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." So this man is possessed. He's living wild. He has no control over himself. Jesus casts the demons out. And then the next thing we see is this man is sitting, calm, clothed, and it says in his right mind. And he's having a conversation with Jesus. The people see this. They're absolutely terrified of Jesus because if he has this much power, they cannot have authority over him if he has authority over this man. And so they ask Jesus to leave. And when Jesus agrees, the man wants to go with Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus. You see, this man could not help but share in the powerful truth of God's grace, mercy, and compassion. The Bible says that he went home and began to publish. This word "publish" means to proclaim openly all that Jesus had done to all who would listen. It was not just something that he knew conceptually, but it was a real life, tangible reality. The truth is, when we move from checking to connecting, as Jake talked about in his interview, I believe we will be bolder to use the platforms we have to make Christ known. Now, if you want to follow along, and you can also get on there after the service as well. But we do have an outline that's available in our app, North Greenland BC, in your app store. And you can go on. There's just a simple little outline for today's message on there. But I want to talk this morning, just for a few more minutes, about moving from checking boxes to connecting personally with the Lord. From checking boxes to connecting personally with the Lord. So what does it mean to check boxes? Well, this is that status quo. We can tend to go through the motions, as again, Jake mentioned, not really walking in our faith for ourselves. We've grown up in the Christian home. We know Christ. We know of Jesus. We go to church. We do these things, but it's not really engaging us in that personal, intimate walk. We say all the right things. We pray before we go to bed, but that was about it. That was really all our walk consisted of. We can know Christ, but again, not fully be engaging with Christ, intimately pursuing him, as we heard about in the interview. But the truth is, we aren't called to this kind of living. We aren't called to a casual Christianity. We just kind of surface walk with Jesus. We're called to so much more. And we can engage Christ because ultimately Christ wants what's best for us. We pursue the things that we think are best for us, but when we engage Christ and we pursue him, we'll discover that he will lead us in the things that are truly best for us, for our blessing and his glory. There's so much more available to us in Christ than just a surface, casual Sunday morning relationship. There's the intimate walk we can have with him. And when we stop just checking the box in our minds, and we can't help but tell others of his grace. I love this encouragement from Jesus. You can't come with me, but I want you just to go home and tell your friends that the Lord has had compassion on you. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. What a testimony. And you might think, well, yeah, my testimony is not as good as this guy. I didn't come from that. I grew up in a Christian home. I never really did anything that's like this. I don't have a testimony. The Bible makes it clear that if you've received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and his blood has paid for your sin, and he has shown compassion to you, you have a testimony. And that testimony is simply, this is how the Lord has been good to me. This is what the Lord has done for me. You see, when we stop checking boxes and living in the status quo and start connecting, it equals a heart surrendered. Our heart surrendered. This man in our text from the Gospel of Mark, who we call Legion, again, that wasn't his name. That was the name the demons gave Jesus. He spent an unknown amount of time living wildly among the tombs. And after being released from that torment, his first response wasn't to go home and potentially see family and friends, but to go with Christ. This man could have been living this way for years. And he's finally released. He's free. He's able to think for himself. He's back in his right mind. And his solution to what he should do next is not, let me go home and see my family and friends who I miss greatly, but I want to be with Jesus. To the point where Jesus has to basically tell him, don't come with me. I imagine the man like stepping into the boat and Jesus is like, no. I need you to go home. And he's like, what? I don't want to go home. I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no, go home and tell them what the Lord has done. The man that was rescued by Christ didn't need to be convinced to follow Christ literally. He didn't have to be talked into following Christ. He had to be told to go home. The man that was rescued didn't have to be convinced to follow Christ. He had to be encouraged and convinced to go home. Now, we know he continues to follow Christ spiritually, but he wanted to follow Christ literally. Now think about that for a moment. Many of us, we've been rescued, if you know Christ, from the power and penalty of sin. You've been gifted eternal life. You will not answer for your sins under the wrath of God, but you will stand bold before the throne of Christ because of the grace of God that has been given to you. And you will stand and proclaim, it is not me, it is Jesus. You've been rescued. You've been set free. And if we're honest with ourselves, do we have to be convinced to follow Christ? Or do we have to be convinced to say, wherever I am, I'm going to be a follower of Christ? You see, this man does go home. And the result was powerful. Many have suggested that when you go over to, we're not going to turn there for time's sake, but Mark chapter 8, verse 1, we read the amazing story of the miracle, the feeding of the 4,000. And this feeding of the 4,000, this multitude that had collected to hear from Jesus and to be with Jesus, this group of 4,000 that's recorded for us in Mark 8:1, happens in the region of Decapolis. You see, Mark chapter 7, verse 31 sets the location as Decapolis. Now, where did this man that we call Legion go when he left Jesus? To Decapolis. And so many believe that this gathering of 4,000 was greatly encouraged because this man, Legion, went home and in just a short amount of time made Jesus's compassion so known and people so marveled that when Jesus arrived in their area, they could not help but flock to Jesus because they've already heard of the compassion. They've already heard of the goodness of the Lord. And this man, one man's simple testimony, potentially led to 4,000 coming before Jesus and receiving the miracle of this feeding. You see, this man changed his world, his area of influence, by merely sharing the compassion that God had upon him. And if we're being honest, this is our call today. Sharing the amazing and gracious compassion that God has shown to us, that God has given us in his gospel. Are we desiring revival in our hearts? Are we confessing sin, repenting, and trusting in his grace daily? Is that you? Would that describe your walk with Christ? Or would you say, if you're being honest, you feel like Christian disciplines and Christian responsibilities are more like weights that you carry than joyful experiences? That gathering with the church is more of a weight than it is a joy? Now, these moments you long to experience, you can't wait to get into the Word, you can't wait to pray, you can't wait to gather with God's people, or are these things you have to force yourself to do and work up to? We all have seasons where we struggle in this. It doesn't make you less of a Christian if you know Christ. What it does do and what it should do is reveal to us that our hearts have drifted and we need to center our hearts back in the things of Christ and pursue him with our whole hearts, surrendered to what he has for us. If we're merely checking the box, then call to the Lord and realize anew his grace, his compassion. And if you're honest with yourself and you don't know Christ personally today, then today you can know him. It's not about religion. It's not about getting baptized. It's not about tithing. It's not about going to church a certain number of times. It's not about being a good person. It's about personally receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's about realizing that you've sinned. You've fallen short. We all have. As Jake said in the video, we've all fallen short. But because we've fallen short, God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. And anyone of any background, of any sin struggle, who says, Lord, I repent of this sin, would you forgive me? He will save you and he will give you eternal life. So that's you this morning. Would you cry out to him and ask him to save you? Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and to worship you. And Lord, I know that this morning was a little bit different in how we did our service, but I pray that it's been an encouragement and a blessing to those that have gathered. I thank you for not only Jake's testimony, but so many athletes who are followers of Christ who will boldly proclaim that you are their Lord and Savior. And Lord, we live in a day and age where we can talk about God, but not too popular to talk about Jesus. And so when these individuals with their platform where you've placed them are so bold to talk about Jesus, Lord, it could cost them. It could cost them advertisers. It could cost them opportunities. But Lord, their desire is to make you known, to share that you've shown compassion to them in Christ. And so Lord, I pray that we who have been rescued from sin, we who have been forgiven of great sin, we who have been gifted eternal life in Christ, would make you known. Maybe our platform isn't as a star athlete. That's okay. At our jobs, in our homes, in our schools, wherever you've placed us, whether it's a kicker in the NFL or somebody who sells bricks, that we would use that opportunity to make you known, to be the very best at that field so that you are glorified. So Father, would you work in all of this? And Lord, again, if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as their Lord and personal Savior, I pray they would repent of their sin, turn from their sin, and trust Christ. Salvation is all of you because it's all of grace. And so thank you for what you've done. Thank you for this morning. Lead now as we respond to you and what you're doing in our lives. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As you stand to your feet, we're going to be led in a song of invitation. And as we're led in this time of response, there in your seats or here at the altar, if you'd like to respond to what God is doing. And maybe you're here and you'd say, I've been checking the box. Lord, I want to engage you fuller and deeper that I would know you personally today. You're my Savior, but I want to know you more. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you know Christ and you're living for him. Make that platform. Use that platform, rather, make him known and watch him do great things. Or if you need to know to come to Christ and receive him as your Lord and personal Savior, would you do that today? Whatever it is that God is doing, would you respond as we sing?